Hey everyone, my name is Randall Heyer and I'm the Worship Arts Pastor here at Cochrane Alliance Church. We are so glad that you've come to check out the latest sermon, and we pray that you are encouraged, challenged, and ultimately that you are drawn closer to Jesus. Enjoy.
It all began in 1956. A young 20-year-old, Lauren Cunningham, he had taken a team of singers and musicians down to the Bahamas, and they were doing some ministry there. And they had just finished up a long day of ministry, and he was exhausted, and he went back to his room to get some rest. And he sat down on his bed, he doubled up his pillow, laid down, opened up his Bible to just spend some time with the Lord. And he said, "Lord, speak to me." And immediately he began to have a vision. And this vision was of waves and waves and waves crashing onto a map. And these waves were crashing onto every continent of the map. And as he continued to, he rubbed his eyes a couple times, and am I really seeing this? And as he kept on watching this vision take place, these waves turned into young people. And there were young, tons and tons of young people going onto every continent of this map and of the world. And these young people were going into bars, and they were sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. They were standing on street corners and talking with people, and they were going house to house sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. And Lauren Cunningham said, "God, is this really you? Are you really saying this, that thousands of young people are going to go to every nation on the globe to share the good news of Jesus Christ, just people who are in their 20s. Well, 4 years later, Youth with a Mission was officially established. In the summer of 1960, Lauren graduated from college. He again took a small team of young missionaries, and they went to Hawaii. Who wants to go to Hawaii and do missions? Anyone? They went to Hawaii to share the good news of Jesus Christ. And with this vision that he had had 4 years prior, he was still mulling it over in his brain and asking the Lord, "Okay, God, how do you want to make this happen?" And he, like I said, YWAM, or Youth with a Mission, was officially established that year. And this ministry would send young people out after high school, and it would take Christians from all denominations. He started it with his, at the end of that year, it was 1960, it was established, and him and his wife, Darlene, are the official co-founders of YWAM. This was all in 1956 and 1960. And then, 50 years later, in 2010, YWAM celebrated 50 years of missions. And in 2010, they did big, huge celebrations all over the world for their 50th anniversary, and they had over 18,000 volunteer staff in 1,200 ministry locations. And today, 2021, YWAM trains and equips 25,000 young missionaries, short-term missionaries, every single year to go all over the world, every single continent, to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. It currently has over 20,000 staff, and they operate in 180 countries, and it's known as the largest mission-sending organization in the world. The seeds that we sow that seem insignificant and take years and years to grow can become trees filled with kingdom fruit. As we continue our series, Kingdom OS, we learn how the kingdom of God operates. We're diving into Matthew chapter 13. We're looking at the parables of Jesus. And we're learning how the kingdom of God operates. And we've learned over the last month in our last series called VIP that the kingdom of God operates completely different than the kingdom of this world. So if you have your Bibles, please turn to Matthew 13, 31 to 33. This is Jesus speaking. He put another parable before them, saying, "The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it has grown, it is larger than all the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches." He told them another parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour till it was all leavened." A couple of weeks ago, we defined the kingdom of God like this. It's the rule of God's grace in the world. Both it's a present reality and it's a future hope. It is the believers in God's kingdom experiencing the blessedness of being in the kingdom. It's where the realities of heaven begin to invade earth. So what's taking place in heaven invades earth. Jesus's ministry was filled with miracles and signs and wonders, and the captives being set free, the demon-possessed being giving liberty. These are all signs of God's kingdom. It's where perfect justice would be executed. It is those who live in the kingdom know happiness and peace. And like I said, it involves a present reality and a future hope. So the kingdom of God's rule and reign, the kingdom is God's rule and reign through his people on the earth. And Jesus states that this kingdom is like a mustard seed. It starts out small and it grows into a tree in the garden. It's also like tiny yeast that the woman sprinkles on the yeast, on the dough, and it infiltrates all areas of the dough and it expands and feeds many people. When Jesus taught in parables, it often would spark curiosity or it would offend people. And this parable is no different. It would have sparked curiosity in the hearers. And they probably wouldn't have wanted to hear that the kingdom of Jesus, the one who they were following, especially the disciples, was going to start out incredibly small and insignificant, or seemingly insignificant. So what's the big deal that Jesus is trying to communicate here to the people? He's trying to communicate that small and unexpected beginnings can turn into incredible growth and blessing. Nothing can stop the kingdom of God from moving forward. I love the book of Acts. If you read the book of Acts, the author Luke, he will write a section and then he'll finish that section with incredible phrases like this. "And the Lord added to their number daily," or "the word of God continued to increase and the number of disciples multiplied greatly." And again, walking in the fear of the Lord and comfort of the Holy Spirit, it multiplied. The kingdom of God began small and went out and multiplied. People hearing the word of God were impacted and their lives were changed forever through the word of God. Take Jesus' beginnings for a moment. Jesus, as we know, was born in Bethlehem. And Bethlehem was a small and unassuming location. Micah 5:2 says this about Bethlehem. O Bethlehem, you who are too little to become among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler of Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient of days. This is a prophecy that was spoken about Jesus coming from Bethlehem, a small and unassuming place. Jesus was born in a manger, or they set him in a manger where animals would come and feed. And he grew up in a town called Nazareth. And this town was roughly 400 to 500 people. Nothing to write home about. It was small, not much going on. And Jesus grows up in this place. At the age of 30, Jesus begins his ministry. And he calls 12 disciples. And these disciples are fishermen and tax collectors. And they're kind of nobodies. They don't have much education, if any at all. And Jesus spends 3 years with them, and he does life with them, and he teaches them about the kingdom. And at age 33, Jesus is known in the area, and he is crucified. And the disciples are probably beside themselves thinking, what in the world? Like, Jesus, I thought your kingdom was going to go forward. I thought we were going to build this amazing ministry and things were going to go in power. And Jesus dies. 3 days later, Jesus raises from the dead. And what does he do? He spends a little bit of time with them and then he ascends into heaven. And again, the disciples are probably thinking, Jesus, what's going on here? Like, I thought we were expanding your kingdom. I thought we were going to see your kingdom come in heaven as it's on earth. Or sorry, on earth as it is in heaven. What is happening? And Jesus says, don't worry. I will send you the Comforter. I will send you the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus sends, the Father in heaven sends the Holy Spirit to his people. And in Acts chapter 1, Acts chapter 2, we see the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the people of God. And what happens next? The kingdom of God grows and grows and grows and grows. And within a 60-year span, from the birth of Jesus to 30 years after Jesus, The way of Jesus Christ is known throughout the known world. Everyone knows about the way, the believers in Jesus. And the Holy Spirit empowers his church to expand the kingdom of God. Churches are planted. The gospel message is preached. Cities and nations are transformed. All within a 60-year period, and it is continuing to go today. Within a 60-year span, the entire world is turned upside down. The kingdom of God has been established, and it is moving in power. Nothing could stop it. Here's another prophecy from Ezekiel about how the kingdom of God would come. Ezekiel 17, 22 to 23. Thus says the Lord God, I myself will take a sprig from the lofty top of the cedar and will set it out. I will break off from the topmost of its young twigs a tender one, and I myself will plant it on a high and lofty mountain. On the mountain height of Israel will I plant it, that it may bear branches and produce fruit and become a noble cedar. And under it will dwell every kind of bird. In the shade of its branches, birds of every sort will nest. In God's kingdom, big things come from small beginnings. Jesus continues on in Matthew 13:32. He says, this mustard seed. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is larger than all the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make their nests in its branches. Just a quick note, the mustard seed actually isn't the smallest seed. However, in this day and age, in this area, the seeds that the farmers used, this mustard seed would most likely have been the smallest seed that was used in this time. And so Jesus states, he takes a real life example and says, the kingdom of God, my kingdom, will start out like this small, unassuming little mustard seed. And all the birds, when this mustard seed has fully grown, all the birds of the air will come and make nests in its branches. The idea of these birds coming and making nests in the branches is that the kingdom of God will have extreme impact. It will have major impact in the world. I remember in my high school years, one of my friend's dad came to me, and his name was Roger. And Roger called me one day, and he said, "Hey, Randall, I'm in need of some help moving some furniture." And I said, "Oh yeah, I think I could help you out." He's like, "How about Saturday?" I'm like, "Saturday works for me." And so we got into his truck, and we went to the location of the furniture. We loaded up, and we are on his way. Roger had started a ministry years prior, and he was working out of his home, and now he had got an office. And so we were on his way to move this furniture to the office. And on the way to his office, I remember him leaning over to me and saying, "Randall, do not despise the day of small beginnings. Randall, do not despise the day of small beginnings." I don't know why this memory is stuck in my mind. But he kept on saying over and over, he said it so many times that it got awkward, actually. He just said over and over, "Randall, do not despise the day of small beginnings." Roger was quoting a verse from Zechariah chapter 4, verse 10. That says this, "For whoever has despised the day of small beginnings shall rejoice." Roger has worked with this ministry that he started for over 30 years. And his ministry has done incredible work with First Nations and Indigenous people in northern Manitoba and in the Northwest Territories, bringing reconciliation, bringing restoration, and he's actually worked all across Canada, and he's had incredible impact. Do not despise the day of small beginnings. One of the downfalls of our time is that we always want the big thing. We always want to be a part of the big thing, the cool thing, the thing that has 5 million followers on Instagram. We want to be a part of what's getting all the attention. The problem with that is that it's not kingdom. It's not kingdom thinking. This week, I had an incredible difficult time thinking through this because I want to be a part of the big thing. I want to be a part of the lights and the smoke machines and all those things. No, I don't really want to, but you know what I mean. We want to be a part of the big thing, the thing that has all the influence, that has all the attention. This is not the kingdom of God. I'm not saying that the kingdom of God isn't in big things, but when we want to be a part of those big things, just to be part of those big things, it's not kingdom thinking. Just a few weeks ago, we were talking about the people that Jesus invites into his kingdom. And who are the people that he invites into his kingdom? The lowest of the low, the outcasts, the children, not the most beautiful people in the world who are walking the red carpets, but the outcasts. If we want to have big impact, we've got to start small. Three things about the mustard seed. It's small and insignificant. It grows greater than all the herbs and becomes a tree. It provides protection for the birds of the air. Jesus continues on in his next parable, and he talks about the leaven or the yeast. And he says this, Matthew 13:33, he told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour until it was leavened. Now, 3 measures of flour is actually quite a bit of flour. There's some debate on how much flour this actually is. However, once this flour and dough has been made and prepared into bread, it would feed probably about 100 people. And so when you take this yeast and the woman, she sprinkles it onto the dough and she kneads it into the dough and it permeates through the dough, it has major impact on that dough. There's also thought that these two parables are, some people believe that these parables are saying the exact same thing. Some of them believe that there's a slightly different variance. And the mustard seed talks about outward growth. You know, the tree, all the birds are coming and nesting in it, and the yeast is kneaded into the dough. And it's referring to inward transformation. You know, sometimes we can't see the kingdom of God growing. We get discouraged because, God, are you actually even moving? Are you actually even doing anything? But all the while, there's this inward transformation that no one can see, and God's kingdom is moving forward. I want to challenge us with 2 things today. First, go small. Go small. It probably won't come how you expect it, that being the kingdom of God. It will start small. I invite you to have confidence in how God wants to bring about his kingdom. Think about prayer and fasting, for instance. We set aside time to pray. We set aside time to fast. And when we're fasting, we want to pray and ask God to move in incredible ways. But is God really moving? Does God really hear my prayers? Think about the God that you are praying to. The Almighty God of the universe, the one who holds the world in his hands, the one who is all-powerful. I love the song, Miracle Worker. God is a miracle worker. Waymaker. Waymaker, miracle worker. I love the bridge because it speaks to our generation so well. And it says this, even when I don't see it, you are working. Even when I don't feel it, you are working. You never stop working. The prayers that we pray, the things that we beg of God to do in our day and age, trust the Creator of the universe. He is working. Whenever you can't see something happening, whenever you don't feel something happening, trust God is moving. Our prayers might feel small, but that's exactly what God wants. He will move his kingdom forward. Secondly, go small. Secondly, expect big. Expect God to move in incredibly big ways. Ask him to guide you. Ask him to move in ways that you've never seen before. I remember when I was in my late teens, I grew up just outside of a little town and in the country on a dirt road or a gravel road. And it looks very, very similar to that road right there. And one day I was driving down the road and I saw these two guys standing beside their car on the side of the road. And for me growing up, my dad's a farmer and he can fix anything. So he would often stop on the side of the road and help people out or pull them out of the ditch or just see how he could help them. So I learned a lot from my dad in that way. And so periodically I would stop on the side of the road and help people. And so I was like, hey, do you guys need help? And they're like, well, yeah, actually, our car ran out of gas. And so they're a couple miles from any gas station. And I said, well, why don't I grab a jerry can? I'm just close by my home. I'll grab a jerry can and fill it up with gas for you and bring it back to your car. And they're like, oh, that would be awesome. And so I drive to the gas station. And as I get the jerry can out, I'm thinking about filling it up with gas. And I'm like, I'll just put in like $3. You know, be cheap. I'll just put in $3. That'll get them to where they need to go. And I felt really strongly to fill up the entire jerry can. It was only like $10. But regardless, I felt like the Lord was wanting me not to like just cheap out and give them just what they needed, but give them as much as I could in that can. And so I fill up the jerry can, I bring it back to their car, and I get the gas into their vehicle, and they're beside themselves. They're super stoked, and that was it. They go on their merry way, and I go on my merry way. A couple of years later, this guy comes up to me. I have no idea who he is. And he comes up to me and says, hey, remember me? And I'm like, no, I don't. He's like, yeah. He's like, you filled up my car with gas on the side of the road a couple of years ago. And I just want to let you know that it completely changed the trajectory of my life. He said, after that, I rededicated my life to the Lord, and I've been going to church every single week, and I just love Jesus, and I want to spend the rest of my life loving Jesus. And I was like, I was beside myself. I couldn't believe it, right? A small mustard seed. Expect God to do big things. You know, we live in an incredibly polarized world right now. And a small mustard seed can be a kind word. Like, you can literally change someone's life because you're nice to them. Because no one's expecting people to be nice to them right now. Everyone is on edge. And everyone's like, oh no, when am I going to be called out? When is someone going to rat me out on Facebook? When is someone going to, you know, you name it. Everyone's on edge. Everyone is completely polarized. And a kind word can completely change someone's life. An act of kindness can completely change someone's life. You never know how God will expand the kingdom of God through you, through an act of kindness, through a word of encouragement. This week, I read an article, an incredibly thought-provoking article for me. It's by a guy named Scott Hubbard, and this was the quote that I loved, and it completely blew me out of the water. He said this, what will it mean for us to worship a God who works like this? Referring to the small mustard seed. It will mean praying for the big, longing for the big, working for the big, all while faithfully and contentedly devoting ourselves to the small. Pray for revival and then prepare breakfast for your kids. Dream of the knowledge of God's glory flooding the earth and then bring a taste of that glory to the neighbor next door. Preach a grand vision to dozens or hundreds on Sunday and then sit and listen to the wounded one on Monday. The day of big things is coming. Until then, do not neglect the day of small things. Listen to this, church. The day of big things is coming. Until then, do not neglect the day of small things. The kingdom of God is here. The kingdom of God is advancing. Let me tell you that. The kingdom of God is advancing. There is so much turmoil in our world. I want to invite you, stop listening to the turmoil. The kingdom of God is advancing, and it's advancing through people like you, devoting yourselves to the small things, devoting yourself to praying for revival and then feeding your kids. The kingdom of God might begin small. It might begin unassuming, insignificant, but it grows and grows and grows and grows, and it radically changes lives. I want to invite you today. I want to invite you to pray. Pray for God to move in incredibly big ways. Pray for his kingdom to be advanced. I want to invite you to share a kind word with your neighbor. Help your neighbor. Buy someone groceries. Buy someone a coffee. Bless someone. Because the kingdom of God is like a small mustard seed. It begins small and it grows bigger than all the herbs in the garden into a tree. I invite you to stand and let's worship our great and glorious King.